Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Day today is the 13th of September, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on again, off again, man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards, the third of The Athletic. James, do you want to start with football or do you want to end with football?
Let's start with football and gambling and guess if I'll ever get my $150 from you.
I think so. You are going to get your $150 for me. So here's what happened. Some of you were in on this because I think James was firing off some tweets about it.
I did.
So the bet that we had for the Thursday night game, Buffalo in LA, was because, okay, so what people don't know is sometimes James and I will just text each other, you know, dumb bets that we know aren't going to happen, but it's just like a haha, whatever, just in case. Well, mine
You should edit dumb bets that you don't think are going to happen.
Okay. Like when I lead with, hey, I text James randomly. If Stafford throws 5 TDs tonight, you have to buy me. I think I said a teal jersey or the Big Sean jersey or something like that. The Big Sean jersey. Because it's like, you know, that's not going to happen. Sometimes I just want an excuse to text James, you know, have an interaction with him. He's a great guy. I love hearing from him. He responds with, we start working through what his end of the deal is. And he goes, he settles on, if Stafford throws more INTs than TDs, you owe me $150. That's equal value. The jersey is going to be about $150 cash. It's about the same thing, right? Yeah. I'm thinking to myself, yours is a lot more realistic, but still no shot that's going to happen, even with this Bills defense. Now,
your reply to me was, both are unlikely.
I honestly stand by that. At the time, I stand by believing that they were both unlikely. I did not expect that two of those interceptions weren't going to be his fault.
What?
One of them was a tip.
Who threw the ball that got tipped?
He doesn't have an elbow right now, man. And you're going to be like, well, then you shouldn't have made the bet. James is going to get his money. I think we have a very I think we have a very fair plan in place as to what the payment of that is. And without airing out our business, I think it's very
fair.
And
he's delaying the way to get the means. So it's not.
Oh my God. Don't even go. It's me. Do you really want me to, you want to do this?
It's not me.
The show taken off the air pretty quick.
I'm helping.
So anyways, just so we're being fair to Michigan fans, let's do a quick few minutes. It's always been JJ, right? Always.
I don't care. Yeah,
it's always been JJ McCarthy.
Wait, are you asking me who I liked more or who did I think was going to start? I don't like either. I don't care.
Okay, well then, did you have an actual answer to the other question then?
I thought you were asking me asking me what did I think Harbaugh was doing? Like, was it always JJ and Harbaugh?
It always was. Yeah. Everybody knows that he was just too afraid to do it. He was just too scared, right?
Somebody made a good point. I don't remember if it was on Twitter or somewhere. I apologize. I'm sure many people said this, but it seemed like Harbaugh wanted people to see for themselves that JJ was better than paid.
He wanted the public to be like, the optics are so obvious here. That way Jim's quote unquote hands are tied here.
Right. So it doesn't look like he just came into the season benching the guy that just won him a Big Ten title. Look, everybody, see for yourself. This guy's better.
Even though everybody knows Cade should have entered the transfer portal because everybody knows. Now, I will say, shout out to JJ. He still will. I'm just saying he should have already done it and avoided all of this in the first place, pretending the whole, like, the QB room controversy that was going on the last few weeks, like, Cade didn't know what was going on was silly. The self-awareness.
I would say he was probably misled, but yeah, and it was just handled poorly.
Then he must not be online. We know how much these dudes see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not that hard for them to. Anyways. I do shout out to JJ McCarthy though, because he lost Michigan State game last year when they brought him in for like two snaps and he fumbled the ball on like the 40-yard line. So shout out to JJ McCarthy for smoking that last year.
They would have beat us if they did. They just left Cade in.
Craziest thing: first half of that game was the best half of football that Cade McNamara had played all year, and I was shocked. And then the second half, just the wheels kind of fell off. Also, Kenneth Walker, obviously, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to talk about we're right. We are, I think, the two most historically correct people in the world. Congratulations, Noah Kim is your new QB1, Spartan fans.
I wish. Don't say that, because maybe somebody like will listen to this and think that they missed something and then rush to Twitter as they're driving and, knock on wood, hit a squirrel.
You know what I was thinking? I was wondering this watching the Michigan State game, which, by the way, thank goodness that's the only time we're going to be wearing the neons this year. Glad we got it out of the way, because wearing those uniforms make me not want to watch the game.
The worst part of it, and I think I realized what it was, I tweeted it. It's the, like, of course, the whole, the state,
the lettering is weird. Yeah.
But it would be manageable if the numbering was neon. Why is it?
You're right.
It looks so weird.
It's the last thing from the D'Antonio era that I'm kind of like, we can cut this. Like, it's, we don't need to, like, we bring back the Nike Pro Combats from 2011, but we can cut those. Were those
the gold helmet?
The ones we wore against Michigan in 2011. Yeah.
Yeah, those were tough.
Those were, Kirk Cousins wore them. BJ Cunningham had a touchdown in that game. I think Keith Nichol. I think maybe Edwin Baker had a TD in that game.
Shout out to Edwin Baker.
Isaiah Lewis had a pick six in that game. Anyways, Noah Kim cracked out of his mind, threw an absolute dart.
Yeah. Something that Peyton Thorne has been unable to do. And listen, do you have a Peyton Thorne rant too?
Well, what I was going to say is, I was wondering, if we really tried, do you think we could get him? Not that we will or will try. Do you think we could get him on the show? Do you think we know the right people to do that? I think we would.
To get Peyton Thorne or Noah Kim?
Yes.
I know the person to make the ask to.
Okay. That's kind of, I guess you would of all people. Yeah. Okay.
But
let's get Noah and Caden Hauser.
I mean, I would be down to get Noah. There's no way Noah listens to this pod. No way.
He'd do the show. We should get Noah Kim. Literally, let's get Noah Kim.
Do we just throw him a bag? NIL money?
Oh, my God. Literally, we can do that, too. We can say, here's $100 to... We should send him a Bun and Cardigan t-shirt to wear on the walk that they do.
I actually have that. I'm going to see if...
And so pay him to do it.
I think Michigan State plays Villanova this year.
They play like Villanova, Duke. They play the most insane non-conference schedule.
So I'm going to ask, when the time comes, I'm going to ask Isaiah Livers and Sadiq if they want to make a bet. I'll wear similar to what, remember what me and Luke Kennard did?
Yeah.
I still have Luke's Duke hoodie. I had to wear it to a game. And if State had won, he would have had to wear Michigan State stuff for the, what do they call it? The catwalk or whatever. When they get flicked up on their way. Thomas Sadiq and Isaiah Livers want to do that this year, but instead of wearing Michigan State stuff, they have to wear BNC hoodie.
Yo, yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. We're going to have Noah Kim, Sadiq Bey, and Isaiah Livers getting tunnel picks with BNC merch.
That'd be hard.
They're going to go on League Fits with BNC merch. Oh my goodness.
With the pandas. Okay.
Woo! You want to get into this mailbag? Let's switch over to back. Oh, you probably have a little Lions spiel you want to go on. You're passionate. You're fired up. MCDC guy over here.
No, I mean, maybe we save it for therapy at the end of the show.
No, we have a really good question.
Did you see my Twitter interactions last night?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying you're a big MCDC guy now. Big Lions.
No, I meant just like the people that I was tweeting about football, and this one guy said, "We get it, shut up." And yeah. But it was me tweeting about Andre Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And then another guy, it goes back to what I was saying a few weeks ago, where I just think I should just tweet my stories and call it a day. But yeah, I mean, listen, do fans want their team to win? Of course. Could the Lions have won that game? Yes. I don't want to say should have anybody went into that game thinking the Lions were going to win, because you can fan how you want.
It was also very clear that they could have won the game, so it's not that crazy to think that.
Right. Well, I think going into the game, this is, I guess, the whole kind of separation between the fan base. Like, what did they do to get that much better to make you think that they could overcome losing by 100 to that team last year? They added the Jaguars' best player.
Aiden Hutchinson.
He was okay at best.
Yeah.
And everything's just, so it's like, I understand you get excited for a new season. I'm sure Hard Knocks had a lot to play into it. But if we're like really looking at it, next year is the year they're going to add guys. This wasn't this year. So like, I didn't go into that. I thought went into that game, which I was at, it was just so much fun.
Flex.
It wasn't a flex. Shout to Brendan Quinn. It was his birthday.
You asked me to tell you that someone probably ran into you.
Shout out to
Nick something.
Nick Wax. Nick Wax. I met him in line getting into the Lions game. He loves our show.
Nice.
I told him I'd shout him out. So shout out to Nick Wax.
Heck yeah.
And really quick, I just want to go on a quick tangent. And this is I'm not saying this to like puff out my chest or toot my own horn, whatever. The love I get in the city is so awesome, man. Like, I really appreciate like you guys and just the support, whether it's you only read at The Athletic, whether you only listen to the pod, whether you do both. Like, I was in line getting a beer. And this one guy was like, "Oh, James Edwards." I was like, "Oh yeah, very nice to meet you." Did the whole talk to him. He's like, then the guy behind me was like, "Oh, I didn't realize that was you."
No.
It was like three guys in line, four guys behind. And it's just so cool. Like, I'm a very low key person. But I live downtown. Like, I'm out and about in the city. Yeah. And it's like really cool. Like, just when people come up and want to talk and interact, and it's just a breath of fresh air because of how much I talk about interactions negatively online, that in real life people are like super cool,
yeah,
and go out of their way to talk and show love. And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that's ever done that. You don't have to do that.
What's the like dap to handshake ratio with when people meet you? Is it like 60-40? Because for me, it's like if somebody sees me, I think like, because I'm just a dude that when people see me, they just think handshake. So I'm like 70-30 handshake.
I always go handshake. I always go handshake, and they always like, "Hey, I'm a fan of your work. Nice to meet you." And I always ask them their name, just usually handshake, ask their name, and we'll talk for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Did I tell a story about the dude who ran into me at the airport recently?
You told me on the side. Oh, there was a guy there. I forget his name. I think his name was Brian. He knew who I was because he loved your YouTube videos.
No way.
Yeah. He was tailgating near us.
I love that. Okay, James, what do you say we get into some basketball questions? How's that sound today?
Yeah, I was talking about something before I went on that rant.
Yes, you were.
Do you recall?
Something, maybe about the Lions, about the Eagles and how we had no business winning that game.
The Lions lost that team by 100 last year. They had a chance to win this year. I was at the game. I enjoyed my time there and thought that they played well, and I'd expect them to beat the Commanders. Like, I don't. I was more, they overshot my expectations in the Eagles game. Like, and it seems like more people were pissed that everyone's saying, how is that same old Lions that they cut?
I mean, a lot of self-inflicted stuff, a lot of really frustrating drops. Some people chalk the onside kick up to the Lions thing. No, I actually loved that. I loved that call. I think the Eagles were, you saying that Jalen Hurts was moonwalking to first downs on every, like, you were right. They were probably going to score on that possession anyways. Why not?
Yeah,
you know, they pulled it off a few times last year. That's why we love Dan Campbell, is because of those shenanigans. It was pretty inconsequential in the end. And also, like, be mad about the pick six. Why is nobody mad about the pick six? You take the pick six out, we win the game.
Or the drop on the crossing route on third and six that I don't know if it was Reynolds or Amon-Ra that Goff put it on the money, and then he ended up overthrowing the next play and they had to punt. But the dude would have had 15-yard reception. They would have, it was right before. Yeah. So there was many things. I just know that I walked away thinking the Lions were better than I thought they were going in. And to me, that's all I wanted to see this year. I didn't expect much. I expect maybe six wins.
You see the thing that Amon-Ra and Equanimeous scored a touchdown within like 5 seconds of each other in real life?
Yeah, I was pissed because I have Mooney on my fantasy team and he had one catch for 8 yards.
My fantasy team, we're going to get into basketball in just a second. My fantasy team is cracked, but I also started Cam Akers this week, but DeAndre Swift saved me, so we're good. Okie dokie. James opened up a mailbag exclusively to the Bun and Cardigan email, which again is the Bun and Cardigan. Wait, is it Bun and Cardigan or the Bun and Cardigan?
Bun and Cardigan.
Bun and Cardigan at gmail.com, spelled phonetically, A-N-D, not the ampersand. You can send us anything and we'll probably read it on the show. Today,
let's not say that, but yeah.
I will read it and potentially respond. Yes.
And maybe read it. And also, that should be the next hoodie, spelled phonetically.
Spelled phonetically. I have to make sure every time because I don't want people putting Bun ampersand Cardigan.
No, I know. So I appreciate you doing it, but it's also become like a little bit of a bit if you're a regular listener.
So first question, since the last episode came out, the Pistons have released new uniforms. And this question comes from Bobby. Pretty sure Nick said that he hates black jerseys when they aren't a part of the normal color scheme of a team. Would love to hear both of your reaction to these new threads. I will go first. Love them. Only love them. I think they're fire. My biggest takeaway was I'm really happy my first impression of them was on one of the players and not on a mannequin or a hanger in some Jimmy Jazz in Ferndale.
Sadiq rocked that jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got I sent you the photo before I was going live with the story.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't going to say it, but James gave me the scoop on the jerseys.
I mean, I showed you like 30 minutes before the story I posted was going live, or an hour before.
About 3 hours, but yeah.
Stop. I saw it in person. If you missed it, I actually broke the story of how the jerseys came about. It was by a gentleman, Cochise. Can't remember his last name right now. Sorry.
Wrote the damn story.
Yeah, I did. Gosh, I want to look it up because I feel bad. Hold on one second. Can you like do the alphabet backwards really quick?
Apartment flooded the other day. That's not fun to deal with. Cool. Landlord goes, oh.
Cochise Hardy. Do you want to finish it?
No, I was just killing. I mean, that all happened and that was a real thing.
I feel bad for it.
Landlord is not a real job, but go ahead.
Cochise Hardy went on a rant in 2020 saying just the Pistons need dog ass jerseys, and he was just frustrated seeing everybody else coming out with Heat jerseys and his team didn't. And I have the voicemail. I'd have to ask for his permission. Maybe we play it next week.
Yeah,
the Pistons played it.
Now you got to chop it up and make a beat out of it.
Oh, that'd be hard. I'll ask for his permission.
Clear the sample.
I'll clear the sample. But yeah, and people heard it, his rant, and they thought it was funny. But also Tyrell, who is one of the chief marketing managers, like, it's like we need to have that passion when we create these new jerseys. And black is, they've been trying to slowly incorporate black. If you notice, a lot of their merch is black, the 313 logo,
the Restore shirt.
Yep. They've been incorporating black more. And so to finally do it on a jersey, and it's not the first time they did it. They did the Motor City black and gray. But this is the first time they've used black, I believe, while incorporating the red, white, and blue still. I thought it was fire from the photos. I like you said, I think it was good to have Cade and Sadiq be the first impression that people saw with them.
Yep.
I saw them in person, and I think they even look better in person. But I think they're sweet. It's different. I like it a lot. I even like, people hated the font and where the words are and all that stuff. I like that. Like, I don't know. It's just different to me. It's cool.
Like, bro, they're not the grays, right?
Yeah.
So deal with it. Another jersey question, another uniform question from Tyler. Hey guys, question for James. when are the teal jerseys going to be on sale, and when are the big jerseys going to be unveiled? Now, Tyler, I actually have an answer to one of these questions.
The but Big Sean jerseys?
But you said question for James, so I'm actually going to withhold my answer and see if James can figure it out.
Does big jerseys mean Big Sean?
I said Big Sean jersey. I'm sorry. Did I say big jersey? Yeah. When do the Big Sean jerseys come out?
I was told the teal jerseys come out. They will be on sale before the regular season. That's all I know.
Okay.
Those and the black ones will be available for purchase before the start of the regular season.
Okay.
The Big Sean jerseys, I believe, are going to be unveiled in November.
That was the one that I thought that I knew.
And everybody, and listen, three or four people have told me now, and we'll see if this is true. You guys, I'll keep my bias out of this. Let me not say that. Everyone knows who listens to this. I'm not a big fan of Sean's music, so I will keep my bias out of this. But everybody, I've talked to three or four people. A couple of people have told me these ones are the best ones. And I'm also not sure. Listen, do I want to say this? Obviously, the idea is that Big Sean is involved heavily right. with this. Do I know that to be fact? I don't. But they are going to. He is going to get all the credit if these are fire. So,
right.
I've heard that these are the best ones to date.
Are the Pistons caping for Big Sean? We'll see. To be continued. I think.
We'll see.
Because what are they going to do? Be like, no, they suck. They're not going to say that. You know what I right. mean?
And
it's kind of like
even...
being like Dwayne Casey said, player X looks really good in camp. No shit. Yeah. Does he look good? Is that what the coach said about him? Interesting. From Joshua.
Oh, we're almost at training camp season.
Almost there.
From that, like we don't get to watch camp. So it's like, it's just a lot of weeks and there's like 2 weeks you just got to take the coaches for their word.
From Joshua. Do you think the Pistons' return for trading Jeremy Grant would be different since the Jazz traded Gobert and kind of reset the market? It kind of feels different than it did before. I think if they waited and did it in the summer post Gobert trade and in the aforementioned reset of the value market, so to speak, then I think you probably would have gotten less, right? Than you already got.
Yeah.
Which wasn't a lot.
I mean, it didn't look like a lot, and then it turned into a lottery pick.
Well, so, right. I'm sorry. Yes.
No, I know what you mean. I would say that I don't know if those two, the Gobert and Mitchell deal, have any impact on Jeremy because he's not them. And the Pistons had been having conversations with people for a while about.
But it changes the way that those trades, I think, change the way that we are now quantifying the value of these players, where the Jazz went from, hey, the Knicks have to give us 7 picks and 5 of their best players to 3 picks, 2 pick swaps and 3 mid players. Sorry, 2 mid players and 1 player who hasn't. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So the way that we're quantifying the value has changed. So the question is, if you waited until after that happened, what would have been different? And I think you would have gotten less.
That's possible. I think the market, remember when it's kind of became more obvious that Jeremy was likely going to be gone, like everybody was comparing, okay, so what did Aaron Gordon get in a trade? What about, you look at Robert Covington, right. Like the market was kind of set for those type of versatile forwards.
Tertiary guys.
Yeah. And then technically, like, Jeremy didn't even get that. Like, it ended up being kind of almost a better, the lottery pick ended up being better almost than like what the Magic got for, well, obviously time will tell if Durant's good or whatever, but I don't know. I'm not good with that. I don't know about the reset the market stuff. I'm not. That's one thing I'm not very good at. Yeah.
Maybe I should make a video out of it. From Kyle Metz, a regular listener and chatter with the BNC, sent in a few questions. He said that he'll let us pick out which one we like the most. This is the one that I like because we've actually talked about this. I think you and I both via text, and I think we've mentioned it a few times on the show. Next summer, would you rather the Pistons sign Draymond for 4 years starting at $25 million or Wiggins for 4 years starting at $38 million?
Wiggins.
So I'm a sicko, as we've established, and I would give Draymond that contract today, and I wouldn't blink. I wouldn't think about it tomorrow. I wouldn't regret it.
4 years, $100 million?
Yeah, for Draymond Green, I would do it today, immediately.
And you're the
for my team.
And you're the Pistons fan who has sat through.
Yep.
Tracy McGrady.
Yep.
Chris Webber.
Chris Webber. Yep. Name as many as you want. The answer is
Blake Griffin.
Yep. Say it. Say more names. Yep. Keep naming names. The answer is yep.
And you want to go through that again, but on a worse scale because the contract's even higher than everybody on that except Blake.
Yep. That's what I want to do. Draymond.
I want you to say these words. I like the eighth seed. Just say it.
I don't think that move. I don't think that move would align with complacency.
It is if he's not good, and then you have no room to get other good players.
$25 million is a lot of money.
Yeah,
$40 million is a lot of money too.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do? Oh, well, I mean, you already said Wiggins, but why are you so? Why is it so? Bam, bam. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I would say neither. I would rather. Well, of course. I would rather but that's not what the question is, Kyle. Kyle wants to know if we had to pick between those two.
So would you rather pay Wiggins?
So there's been the camp of people, which I think over the years has evolved, that believe that if Draymond Green had played for any team that wasn't the Golden State Warriors and didn't have the exact supporting cast that he has had around him his entire career, that he would not be as successful as he is. I am one of the people who I don't subscribe to that ideology. Now, the question is now when you really want to roll the dice, right? Like if we were in this position, you know, two contract cycles ago with Draymond, that or maybe one even, I think it's a different conversation. But maybe at this point in his career, we're kind of at a point where do you really want to lock this guy in for 4 years? You know, even if you front load the contract to make it easier, you know, lessen the blow in later years. Like, yeah, that Swiss Army knife that you know him to be and the glue that he is that can hold a team together and the heartbeat that he is, you know, is now when you want to roll the dice? Yeah, I guess maybe not.
So you just talked yourself out of it.
Sometimes you do growing up on the fly. And I think we should let people grow and learn from their mistakes.
This is my thing. Do the Pistons want to add a person who will be 32 to 36 during this contract and can't shoot?
Right.
Do they want to give $25 million to somebody who, for all we know, could be toast in a year and a half?
Sure.
And listen, I love Draymond, but Detroit has been down this route many times the last decade.
Yeah.
You talk about the Swiss Army knife. Why can't that be Isaiah Livers? Maybe not, obviously, to a bigger degree, or Isaiah Stewart to a different degree. Like,
sure.
Do you need another? Does Draymond's heartbeat hit the same if he's coming into a situation? Like, I guess obviously he'll demand respect from these young players for sure. I don't think that's a question, but I don't know. I just feel like a big voice like that coming into a group that's growing together and then trying to act like I've been there before. This is how you follow me, lead me. I'm not sure he still has, he'll have what it takes on the floor for that voice to resonate.
Is it more maybe subconsciously, I want the Udonis Haslem type on my team?
You do.
I think maybe
his name's Rodney.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, sorry, I forgot that Rodney Magruder is everyone's favorite basketball player. Okay, from Tony. Hey, wait, guys, hold
on, really quick, I would sign Draymond. I would not give Draymond $25 million. Draymond wants to come to Detroit for 4 years, $12 million, 4 years, $15 million. Come on in, buddy.
4 for $40.
He ain't doing that. Until he,
But he's doing 4 for $12. What are we talking about?
No, he ain't doing that either. He's not doing any of the ones I named.
All right. I'm just making sure. Okay. Yeah. From Tony. Hey guys, out of respect for your time, I'll keep this brief. I vaguely remember there being a conversation about a Sadiq versus Beef Stew arm wrestling match to happen later. Did I make that up? Did it ever happen? And if not, does Sadiq's summer training montage cement him as the favorite? To the latter part of that question, yes, Sadiq being in the mountains this summer, I think everyone has started to love Sadiq Bey, especially after the story that you wrote, James. I think everybody has started to love Sadiq Bey just a little bit more, if not significantly more. To the first part of the question, no, you are not crazy. That did happen. The origins of that conversation, I do not remember.
Did I ever tell you when I asked Isaiah, when I asked them about it together?
I think so, but go ahead.
Have I told that on the pod or did I just tell you?
Maybe not. So go ahead.
I apologize if you've already heard this story, but it's...
Well, it's been getting brought up a lot lately and it hasn't been talked about in a while. So go ahead. I don't think it's that bad to tell it again.
We were in D.C. Yes, because we were in Georgetown. Pistons are practicing at Georgetown's gym. I'm interviewing Isaiah Stewart for part of a story. And then after I'm done getting the quotes for that story, I ask him after, I'm like, Isaiah, we've been wondering who would win an arm wrestling match between you and Sadiq. He's like, me and Deke? He's like, I would win. I was like, of course you're going to say that. Like, what are we talking about?
Right.
And then he yelled over at Sadiq and asked who would win. Sadiq was on the other side of the gym or something like that. And I'm sure Sadiq said he would win. I don't think they'd be opposed to doing it. I just don't know.
They should.
Yeah, I agree. I think they should be opposed to doing it on camera.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Maybe they've done it already.
Yeah, sure.
Who did you take? I can't pick. I can't decide.
I think I would have to go with Isaiah. I think I'd have to.
Though he has ridiculously long arms.
Yeah, but it's a 51-49 type thing. You know, like whoever you pick, I'm like, yeah, I get it. But it's Isaiah.
But Sadiq is, like I've said many times, built like an oak dresser. I don't know who I would pick.
This is good. If you want to be Sadiq and I'm Isaiah, and then when they finally do it, we get to see who's right. I'm fine with that.
You want to try to get your double or nothing, your money?
Oh, well, I don't. You would have to record it at least for me, so I knew you weren't lying. You know what I mean? Right. I would at least need there to be, or fly me out to wherever, you know, the Athletic, and so I can witness this arm wrestling competition.
Maybe we'll get it set up in Chicago. We'll do it outside stands.
Another question from T.Boogie. Hey, fellas, what would your walk-in song be if you were a pro wrestler or baseball player? This is a great question for you, James.
Ooh. Why is it just for me? Why not for you?
Well, I just mean because you grew up caring about, you know, wrestlers and you can sort of identify what would be the better, you know, songs for it. I don't really know.
What would be? I mean, it's a hype song. Like, what gets you? I mean,
I would
some,
do
some
would
music
do,
goes with the character.
I would do Diplomatic Immunity because of the horns at the beginning.
Mm.
It's very orchestral.
That'd
you
be
know?
Hard. That'd be yeah. hard. Man, what would I do as a walkthrough song? Oh, that's tough. I actually never thought about like what my theme music would be. Mine might be. Raekwon Ice Cream. Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, now, yeah.
For people that aren't familiar with the legendary Wu-Tang Clan, hold on.
Are you about to get us copyright striked? Didn't we already go with this when we were doing the Rick Astley stuff and Never Gonna Give You Up? And we were
but
like,
did
I don't
we
know,
get we... in trouble? But did we?
That's true. Nobody yelled at us.
They know.
Or they just don't listen.
or that.
People are asleep at the wheel. We could do it. It's a lawless thing. It's a lawless town at the BNC.
It is. All right, hold on. Here's Raekwon Ice Cream. Like, that's I'm coming out. If you hear when you hear that hit, somebody's getting their ass whooped. I'm running down the aisle with a chair.
We have a bit of a longer winded one here, but this is why I love our emailers, because they send us just the longest questions of all time. Because like I say, I always appreciate these emails. I just love it because I'm able to identify with these questions, because as somebody who also takes too long to just ask the question, I really appreciate that people identify with the show in that way. So this question comes to us.
I don't even know what you just said.
What do you mean?
Talk about long-winded.
Oh, facts. Okay. From Tom. First of all, huge thanks to both of you. As a relatively new Piston fan from London, England, I guess it could have been London, Ontario.
Shout out to Spurs.
Who doesn't watch many games live because of the time difference, this podcast alongside James' articles have made it easy to become a fan. It's been a huge part in developing my fandom so quickly, and no doubt offers the same for other international listeners. Why the Pistons? It seems logical as a passionate Detroit Lions fan, which meant, okay, I guess I can speed past kind of this part a little bit. Thank you, though, Tom.
Wait, how did he land on the Lions? Is that in there?
So in parentheses, he put, why them? For another time. So he thought that he might ask that. Yeah. He goes, so two
questions.
Email
us back and tell us why.
Who is the savior of the Detroit Lions, and why is it? And he crossed out Bryce Young and put Noah Kim. I think most people would probably say CJ Stroud. I do not subscribe to that. And which current Pistons player would you add to the Lions roster, and at what position?
Great questions. Thank you for your support across the pond.
Stu is my tight end fan. Stu is a tight end
or D end.
Ooh,
that'd be good.
He would be good. Like Jadeveon Clowney at South Carolina.
It'd be a beast.
Sadiq is a linebacker. Football would be nuts.
Sadiq would be a good safety.
He'd be like Von Miller.
Yeah, maybe linebacker. Yeah, maybe you're right.
It'd be Von Miller.
What was the first part of his question?
The first part was, who's the Lions' savior quarterback? Who do you want them to draft? Are you a Bryce Young guy?
I'm Bryce Young. Yeah. I think Bryce Young, his poise, people are worried about his height. I'm not worried about it. Like, I just think that dude just has it.
Can we just, I love Anthony Richardson. I love him at Florida. Okay. That kid's great. He's awesome. He's got a cannon.
He stunk last weekend.
Here's the thing, Saturday. Though. Why is he allowed to wear 15? Why is that not in the rafters at Florida? Or why is there not like an unspoken? Like, I don't know.
It's
like,
a good question. Why is Tebow's jersey not retired?
Why can he wear 15? And maybe it's like, oh, he called and got the, you know, the okay. Like Jameson Williams wearing 9 for the Lions. Like he called Stafford and was like, anyway, it's weird that 15
I'm mad that Jameson did that, but yeah.
It's weird that 15 is wearable at Florida.
That is weird. I didn't think about that.
He also added at the end, actually, we'll talk about this off. Tom offered for us to come on his podcast. We will talk about that after the show. Maybe we can make something happen there. That'd be kind of fun. Do a little crossover thing. What do you say we end on a more personal and philosophical question?
Let's get it.
It is from the lovely emailer, David, who I was able to identify with because his email signature is, I love cookies.
Oh,
and
as
somebody
guy.
Who, yes. And yes. Okay. So you
shout
remember
to David.
Yeah. And he did actually email us a follow-up that was like, yes, I'm pretty sure it was him that was like, yeah, I don't know how to change my signature. So feel him there. Hey, Nick and James, first of all, love the show, love the Pistons, and I love how you guys contrast each other when it comes to your takes. It doesn't feel like a compliment, but I see what you mean. I was wondering if you guys could give some takes on navigating the quote-unquote work world. I graduated college in April and started my big boy job on May 1st and have been wrestling with it. I question my decision on my major, and I don't know if I love doing what I do. How do you find passion in what you do, and have you guys felt this before?
I think this is a great question for both of us, and I would love
100% agree.
I would love to hear you go first.
So it's always one of the things that I've always struggled with in terms of advice is a lot of people will ask me when they're going into college and they're figuring out what they want their major to be. They'll ask me what I went for. Now, most of you will know I did not. I didn't go to college, so I'm often disillusioned by the entire process. And it's difficult. So really what I'm getting at here is I've always had the benefit of not being tied to a major. And like the idea of like financially tying yourself to something like that, the stress of that to me is terrifying.
Or you've never, you graduate, you go to school, you get a job. You never also lived by that.
Right.
So
right.
Which I think is for certain people, I think that's great.
My path in every conceivable way has been unconventional. And in a lot of ways, like I never really had to do the like quote unquote big boy job thing. You know what I mean? Like I went from just working like, you know, normal like retail jobs to doing YouTube to now I'm in Los Angeles. And like, so my transition was always kind of weird. So what I can really speak towards here is finding passion in sort of what it is that we're doing. For me, the only reason that I started doing videos in the first place, for those who haven't been around since, you know, literally the very beginning, I started by just making post-game recap videos on Twitter for the Pistons in like 2018 or something, 17
That's
or 18
how I
or
found
something.
You.
Right. That's how, you know, a lot of Pistons fans did. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do those was because like, or I guess what drove me to keep making them was I found it really fun to try to find the talking points that other people weren't talking about. And you're not going to be able to do that for every game. You're not going to be able to force it for every game, but it's like, you know, standing out is really, really hard. And feeling unique is really, really hard in a world where digitally, especially, everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's like participating in the same trends. And like, you know, it's really hard to stand out. And in what I do,
there's panda dunks everywhere.
In what we do, that's literally what your job is to stand out so that you can, you know, carve out this market for yourself, and so that you can find an audience, because people are only going to watch you if they think that what you're doing is bringing substance. So finding value is something that I still struggle with all the time. Just starting Motown Noah back up, it's like, you know, okay, everybody's making videos about, Kevin Durant and, you know, video essays on all this stuff that's going on. So it's like, what can I talk about that isn't happening? And, you know, I don't know what it is that your major is, David. So I can't say, maybe give a closer analogy to what it is that, you know, you could be focusing on. I'm also just, at the end of the day, some guy. I don't know anything. I'm only 24. I don't know anything about anything. So I guess this isn't even really advice. I'm just more empathizing with the struggle. Like, I really get it. It's really hard to, like, you know, whether you're working retail, whether you're whatever it is that you're doing, you're working in the food industry, you know, some of you out there are probably in the, you know, the comedy scene, the music scene, super competitive industries. And man, those rooms are tough too. I tell you what about comedians, and this is a little bit of a tangent.
Hold on, really quick. Some of you are probably in the comedy scene. Like, how many do you think we have, like, people going for trying to be the next Bernie Mac that are listeners?
Oh yeah. I tell you what, dude, this is more to my point, is I don't think you realize how common it is. And that's not to say, you know, even 10% of our listeners, I'm just using this as an example.
There's one of you, at least one of you.
I'm just using this as an example of how hard it is to be unique and how hard it is to stand out and build an audience, or at least, you know, feel respected in whatever craft it is that you're doing. Cause not everybody's trying to build an audience, but
if we have any listeners that are trying to be stand-up comedians, please email us.
We got an email about a D1 athlete.
Really?
I forgot. I still haven't read it. I will read it while you're giving your response. But what I want to say really quick is, you know, when you're in the comedy scene, when you're in the music scene, you know, in local, I say local places like Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, wherever it is, you know, you're playing in a room of 12 people, but 9 of those people are the performers, right? And they're just there because they have to watch your set. So you're really only trying to appeal to like 3 people, and, you know, having to, Just it's exhausting, man. I hate to be the guy that's like, man, being alive is so tiring, but it's so hard and it's tough, man. I really feel for you here. Hopefully James has some actual advice for you.
Yeah, no, I liked your perspective in terms of just being able to relate to him. I can say this, and this is kind of how I've always just lived my life. As far as we know, you live on this planet one time, you live life once. So if you're doing something that doesn't make you happy, go do something that does. I am fortunate and blessed enough that I love basketball. I have loved basketball my whole life, and I grew to love storytelling, and this is the job. I get to do 2 of those things. That is my job, both of those things combined. So I'm in a situation where going to work every day is fun. Is it tiring? Yes. Is it first world problems because I'm tired of flying on the plane? Sure, 100%. But is it tiring in general? Like, there are a lot of tiring aspects, but at the end of the day, I get paid for a living to cover the NBA. So that's I can't ask for more, and truly how blessed I am to have those opportunities. So all I will say is, you'll know in your heart if it's something that you just absolutely, if you're not feeling it, man, find something that you do love, even if it's the route scarier, even if the path isn't as certain, even if you're walking away for more money.
Yeah.
You live this life once. And if it's something you got to do every day, you make sure you want to get up and go to work every day. And you enjoy getting up and going to work every day. So even if that means you have to change routes and that new route is scary as all hell, I'm sure it'll be worth it if you make it to the end of that. So that's my thing. Live your one life to the fullest.
I have someone who I love very much that I watched do something that they hated for a really, really long time because it was out of necessity. That's what you had to do, right? You get out of school and you have to get a job. Sometimes you have to get 2 jobs. Some people have to get 3 jobs. Some people get 4 jobs. And, you know, watching them have to do these things because that's just part of the struggle, man. Like, that's what you got to do. You got to work. And eventually over the years, watching it, like just chip away at them, but eventually seeing them be able to squeak out of it and finally, you know, latch on to what they actually want to be doing and get one of their dream jobs, it's a great feeling. And the only reason I say that is because there are people who care about you, and if this is affecting you, you know, in a pretty serious way, you know, everybody's rooting for you, man. And the BNC is here for you.
We are here. Hopefully our hopefully our words helped. I'm sure it's not anything you haven't heard before, but
yeah,
it certainly is. It hopefully it made you think about where you're at and what you're happy with and what you want to do, and
yeah,
just being happy every day.
So we will end on this. This is not part of the mailbag. This is from the D1 athlete. This is the only follow-up that we got to our inquiry. To any listeners, DM us if you are a former D1 athlete. This is the only one that we got. So not an athletic group of people is what we got going on here. The subject line is washed D1 athlete. So we're doing pretty good here. What's up, guys? Semi-new listener and big fan. At first, when I first read this, I thought it said semi-listener. And I was like, you didn't have to say that. You don't have to say, I don't really listen to the show. Semi-new listener and big fan. Was just listening to episode 1 or 2 where y'all said any D1 athletes should reach out. I was a sprinter for my first 2 years in college. Did the rare transfer from U of M after freshman year to MSU for the remainder.
Smart man. Is this Gretchen Whitmer?
Big Gretch buffed up. Ended up having to leave MSU's team after... Wait a minute. Should I be reading this on the show? I didn't say his name, did I? I don't think I said his name. I'll listen back. I don't think I did. He didn't do anything bad. I'm just saying. Ended up having to leave MSU's team after a season due to injuries / to party. Side note, ended up working at Impact 89 FM and covered the football team from 2013 to 2015. So James and I may have crossed paths there. If not, he probably got this work at I Am West at some point.
Hold on. I need to know who this is.
P.S. Oh, and he also sent this from a universityofmichigan.edu email. And he wanted to clarify, this email is from a master's program. I am not a Walmart Wolverine. So sick flex on the master's there, partner.
Yeah. And sick flex from going from Michigan to Michigan State back to Michigan.
Oh, man.
Thank you for the email. Can you tell me his name?
I'll tell you it off the air. I don't want to air this guy out.
Why? He didn't say anything. He said because of injury and party. Like, welcome to college. Like, you didn't say anything crazy. What's his first name?
His first name is Dan.
I need a last name.
Yeah, we'll do it off the show.
All right, he was 2013 to 15. Like, that's, I graduated in 14, and my jersey's in the rafters at I Am West. So,
oh my god,
I'm sure I busted his ass once or twice.
Shout out to Rio Town. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe if you're feeling generous. If you're listening to this on Spotify, wait, did I say it's Spotify already? We will catch you guys.
New Green Tea Pang, go check it out.
New Motown Noah videos are out too. You can go watch those.
Yeah,
go subscribe to Motown Noah.
Are we done with YouTube?
No, we just haven't had anything that's been like clippable. I've been like scouring on the episodes, being like, is this a good video? And just cohesively, I think once we get back into the season and there's quote unquote actually stuff to talk about, it'll be way easier to clip stuff off. No, the YouTube is not dead, but right now it's just like we're not talking about anything that's clippable.
Question. First of all, there's like a fake Etsy site called Shirt Sadiq Bay. Okay.
Run long. What's up?
Oh, what was my question? Oh, do you want to take next week off?
Going into training camp? Okay, yeah.
Nothing next week, and then camp will be back the following week.
Okay.
Media day and camp. There'll be media. We'll be recording on the day of media day.
All right. Well, we're going to go on vacation, everybody. This was just decided, so yeah. We'll see you guys.
We will be off next week. We will be back. We will be back Tuesday. I'm assuming, I don't know the date. I'm assuming media day will be Monday. Is that the 25th, the 26th, whatever date that is. And we'll have something to talk about next week. We've been on low fumes since the Isaiah Stewart interview.
Yeah. I will still be making videos on Motown Noah. James will still be writing stories for The Athletic. We will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace. Green tea, Peng.